We looked at the mission, we looked at the message, and now we will look at the method of how to reach out. So we've understood, first of all, we've understood that we have a mission to preach the gospel to the world, and secondly, we have understood what message it is. It is the gospel in the light of the three angels' messages. And then we may wonder, how should we do it? How can we share the gospel with people? So, in Testimonies, volume 1 and page 513, it says very simply how to start. If we want to be evangelists, if we want to share our faith, begin to pray for souls. Begin to pray for souls. This is the first step that we take. If we want to be soul winners, if we want to win people to Christ, then we need to begin to pray for souls. Pray that God will give you opportunities. Pray that God will help you to be a missionary. Souls are to be sought for. Testimony 7, page 12. Souls are to be sought for, prayed for, labored for. Earnest appeals are to be made. Fervent prayers are to be offered. Our tame, spiritless petitions are to be changed into petitions of intense earnestness. The thing is, when we love, when we pray for people, we will actually start loving them. If we think about people as people that are just stubborn and they don't want to listen to the truth and they can just, you know, suit themselves, we're not going to win souls. If we want to win souls for Jesus, we need to pray, and we need to earnestly pray for them. We need to love them. And when we pray, we will love them. Jesus will change our hearts so that we will begin to love them also. Jesus said, pray even for your enemies, didn't he? And that's the way that we learn how to love them also. The apostles, they prayed earnestly. They received the commission, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Somebody can read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.
Alright, so we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be witnesses. But before they went out, they also prayed. And we read that in verse 13 through 14. It says, and when they had entered, they went up in the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, and the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So, these people, they prayed earnestly. And they prayed for souls. They prayed that people would be saved. And that is the foundation for also what they later did. But it is not enough just to pray. Ellen White says that he, I think it is in Steps to Christ, that he who does nothing but pray will soon cease to pray. If we only pray, we will not feel a need for things to happen. So we need to work and pray. And that's the thing. If you start working for God, you will pray longer. Not because you feel like, there is a special time I need to pray. Just because if God looks at the watch and he sees that you've prayed enough amount of time, then you'll get a blessing. That's not the case. The case is that if you pray, or when you start working, then you will you will feel the need to pray much more earnestly. Like I say, oh, I'm beginning to work for this person, and I see that there's some challenges that they have, and then I pray for them earnestly. And my list of names, they get longer when I start to work for the Lord. So the next step after we pray is that we talk. In Romans chapter 10, we find the method. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17. Sorry, was that chapter 10, verse 13 through 17? No problem.
For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
You can read verse 17 also. You can skip verse 16, okay. It's okay.
So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
All right. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by what? The Word of God. The Word of God needs to be preached, as we read. Jesus said, teach them all things. But how is it supposed to be done? I mean, if you think about what Paul is saying here, it's very simple. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. But if they have not heard about Him, how can they believe in Him? First of all, he says, how can you call on someone who you don't believe in? And how can you believe in someone that you haven't heard of? And how can people hear if no one is preaching? And how can people preach if they're not sent out? So, that's what we are doing. Jesus sent us out. And if we go out and we preach, and then people can hear, and they can believe, and they can call on the name of the Lord. So basically, the primary method that we reach out is by talking. Isn't that simple? How many of you have a tongue? All of you who have a tongue, we can do preaching. We can present. Now, we might think, oh, but I'm not a preacher. Well, what does it mean to preach? Let's look at what the Bible says about preaching. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 29-35. Now you know the story of Philip. He was riding in the chariot he was finding a eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughterer, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Amazing. So you picture this this man, he's sitting here, and Philip is sitting there, and then he starts preaching to him. Now, what do you think he did? Did you think that that Philip took a pulpit, and he stood there in the chariot as it was going, and he was preaching, having a public meeting? I don't think so. What was he doing? He was basically giving him a Bible study. That's preaching. That's called preaching. So, preaching is not just the public proclamation of the word. It is also just sharing the truth from the word of God. So everybody of us can be a preacher. Even if we might not all be public speakers, we can all be preachers. I think Paul is saying that in Acts 20. In verse 20. Yeah, somebody can read that. Acts 20, verse 20.
And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, that have shown you, have taught you publicly and from house to house.
Yeah, so here it says proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. So you can preach in both places. And that's what they did. Now, how, if we think about the method, this is a quote you need to memorize also. Ministry of Healing, page 143. It says, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me. The word is the agent. People need to get in contact with the word of God. That is how people's lives are changed. They're not changed by our compassion. They're not changed by our love in that sense, even though that is very essential. But if a person does not come in contact with the word of God, with the Bible, there will not be spiritual life. Like all of our deeds, all of our work, that will pave the way for it. But it still needs to be the word of God that gets to people's hearts. So how do we do that? Well, we can use Christ's method in the way that he was preaching. Did you have a question? No.
It was something interesting. I was studying through the book of Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that Jesus fulfilled the commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, and these words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. You shall teach them your children diligently, when you sit down, when you walk up, when you get up, when you go out, when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Jesus did. This is how Jesus preached. Wherever he went, whatever he did, he always preached.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And
this was Christ's method. It's not just preaching from the pulpit, it's not just giving a Bible study, but always preaching the word of God, always living and always bringing the attention of the people to it.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's not only Bible studies as in a formal setting, but it is Bible studies, or just bringing people's attention to the word of God and showing them what God's will is. And if we go to Matthew chapter 9, we see Christ's method, how he was working. Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36. Or we can actually read through 38 while we're at it. 35 through 38.
Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
So how was Jesus working? Well, he was preaching. But he was also healing, wasn't he? And he was showing compassion to people. And so this is the method that we are to follow. Christ's method will give true success in reaching the people. We might have success in some other way, but true success comes through Christ's method. He mingled with men as one who desired their good. Like, he came in contact with them, and he wanted the best for people. And then it says he showed his sympathy for them. And then he ministered to their needs and won their confidence. And then he bade them follow me. So winning the confidence of a person is much more, or is so important when it comes to reaching the heart, when reaching people. Because if we don't have the confidence of the person, we can tell them anything, but they will not listen. There's a saying that goes like this. People will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Have you heard that? They won't care what you know until they know that you care. And so we need to care about people. And in the Bible, the method that Christ is referring to, he used the example of harvest. If we want to split up this, Paul also speaks about the harvest, but if we want to split up this method into some divisions, we can have... Now let me see if I can... We can split it up like this. First, he came in contact with them, right? That's basically sowing the seeds. And then he built confidence. That's cultivating the plant so that it grows. Then it is harvesting time. And that is the conviction of... that when people feel conviction, we'll talk about conviction later, but the Holy Spirit speaking to them, then they will make decisions. And after that, they will be trained to go out, just like you are being as well. So, Jesus mingled, he came in contact with them, he did all these things to win their confidence, and then he bade them follow me. And as we follow him, we want to help others to follow him as well. So what we did was, in the church where we worked, we put this together in something we called an evangelism spiral. Now, obviously, usually sometimes we have an evangelistic cycle. Has anyone talked about that with you? An evangelistic cycle? Okay, good. So this is an evangelistic cycle, basically, but we realize that people are on different levels sometimes, you know? Sometimes it takes a bit longer for some people to get through to the harvest. And so what we did in our church was that we put all these things, contact and confidence and conviction, all of the events within all these areas throughout the whole year during the same time. And in this way, a person, for example, if they come to a cooking class, that might be, I might put a cooking class in this layer. It's something that builds confidence. It's not something that's preaching the word to them necessarily, but it is something that builds the confidence. It's part of evangelism, just as much as other events, as Bible studies. So what I would put in the contact is basically, my wife started a restaurant, and this restaurant, there are 80 people every day coming there, and eating. And so we come in contact with them in this way. It's a great platform to come in contact. Now, if you don't have that, you can have other events, like you can have in your church, a buffet, a vegetarian buffet for Christmas or whatever you do. Ways to come in contact with people in a social way. We have health expos, concerts, door-to-door work, that which you do, that's contacting people. You're coming in contact with people. So any method that will bring you into contact with people is part of this first step of sowing the seeds. Hello, it says in Gospel Workers, by being social and coming close to the people, you may turn the current of their thoughts more readily than by the most able discourses. Now that's quite amazing. How many of you are social? How many say that? Yeah, I'm social. Praise the Lord for you people. Some of us are not. I wouldn't count myself as a very social person, but I'm working on it by God's grace. And I think we all can. By being social and coming close to the people, we may turn the current of their thoughts more readily than by the most able discourse. Imagine you have this great evangelistic campaign, and you have a person that preaches so powerful messages. By being social, you can turn people's currents of thought more readily than even by the best preacher. So this is amazing. This is why we need to come in contact with people. The Lord requires that far greater personal effort shall be put forth by the members of the churches. Souls have been neglected. Towns and villages and cities have not heard the truth for this time, because wise missionary efforts have not been made. Our ordained ministers must do what they can, but it must not be expected that one man can do the work of all. The Master has appointed unto every man his work. There are visits to be made. There is praying to be done. There is sympathy to be imparted. There is, and the piety, the heart and hand of the whole church is to be employed if the work is to be accomplished. You can sit down with your friends and in a pleasant social way talk of the precious Bible faith. This is something we all can do, isn't it? This is preaching in a pleasant social way. We do not need to be aggressive, you know? We come to people and we just say we're just looking for this opportunity, or that we just go and we bash people over the head with the Bible. That's not the idea. But it is to be social and to come close to people, to understand them, and to show that we care about them, that we have a genuine interest in them. We're not just trying to run them down to get them, if you know what I mean. We're not just, it's not just to get a number. We're actually interested in the person. And when people see that we are interested in them for real, and we want to make them happy, and we then share in a social and pleasant way about the precious Bible faith, this will make a difference. After we come in contact with people, we can invite them to other events, health lectures, cooking classes. We can go do friendship evangelism, things that will build confidence. These are just some examples of what can be done in a church, and that we do in this church. And they work together in order to generate interests. Because we show people that we care about them. It says, when properly conducted, the health work is an entering wedge, making a way for other truths to reach the heart. When the third angel's message is received in its fullness, health reform will be given its place in the councils of the conference, in the work of the church, in the home, at the table, and in all the household arrangement. Then the right arm will serve and protect the body. So that's why we put a lot of health emphasis in many of our efforts. So this is of course not one person that can do this. We need to help each other, and we can show that as a church we care about people, we minister to their needs that they have. There was one lady that came to a stop smoking class that I had, and she was so overwhelmed after the stop smoking class. She said, why do you as Adventists care so much about us that you help us to stop smoking? Does this for free, basically. And this lady was very impressed with this. And I asked her later on if she would actually like to, at the close of this stop smoking class, I asked her if she would be interested in studying the Bible. And she said, maybe later, which usually means, no, I don't want to. But we were praying for her, and eventually this lady came to a cooking class that we had. And she was very impressed with the cooking class as well. And so she came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, Jonathan, I've thought about this, about what you asked me before, about studying the Bible. And you know, I'm not sure if I will live until I'm, until like for a long time anymore. Like I'm old, so I need to prioritize what's really important in my life. And so, can we study the Bible? So what do you think I said?
My pleasure.
My pleasure. Yes, that's what I did. And so we started to study the Bible together, and she was just soaking everything up. She just loved every bit of it. And she said even though it was a rainy summer, it was the best summer of her life. Now, that was just because her confidence was won. Then she was open for the Bible message as well. And so it's like an entering wedge, as she uses the word. An entering wedge that makes way for other truths. Then it is the third aspect, which is the reaping. And of course, the Bible studies is part of that. Evangelistic campaigns and making appeals. These are all crucial in the reaping aspect. Asking them questions, challenging people, making earnest appeals, helping people to realize the seriousness of the message, and asking them if there is anything that would keep them from following the truth. It is important to present the message clear and logical, to make good advertisement. Well, we'll talk about that later, some other time. But this is maybe church work. But in your personal effort, you can always give Bible studies, and you can, if you present the Bible studies, you can lead people to, or the Holy Spirit will convict them if we give Bible studies to people. Are you using any particular Bible studies here?
Or we make our own.
You make your own?
We were using the facts before we started making our
own. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. We'll talk about how to make your own Bible study also in this course, so I hope that will be helpful. But that's great. So having a plan, like this Bible study plan that I showed you, this is good to know the structure, because the many subjects build on each other, and so it's really helpful to have a subject list like that. If you can't give Bible studies, well, we'll talk about what you can do then another time. Testimonies 7, page 38. The Lord's methods are to be followed by doing house-to-house work. By giving Bible readings in families, the worker may gain access to many who are seeking for truth. By opening the scriptures, by prayer, by exercising faith, he is to teach the people the way of the Lord. And then, of course, it's a training part to teach people how to do it. But and we'll talk about that when we talk about the pastor's job later on. But yeah, this is, in this way, a person can move from one aspect, and they can move closer and closer to the core, until they make a decision and they will be a follower of Christ. So we just have to have this concept in our mind. Like, of course, we might not, it's not, evangelism is not about a concept in that sense. It is about us sharing what Jesus has done for us. But it is important to understand that we need to have a genuine interest in people. We need to show them that we really care. We need to win their confidence. And then we can actually help them to follow Christ.